those two.
But I didn't see if you remember it properly. So at some point I'm going to make this.
Good morning, Rabbi Sai. Our limud of halacha every day is as a schus for the refuah of Yosef Dov ben Chayla. He should have a refuah shleima b'kora b'soisho chayli Yisrael. So, Imiyat Hashem, b'shol tov v'mislachas, this Sunday will be Shiva Osa B'tamuz. It is not a nidche, it's Shiva Osa B'tamuz boi b'yoim. Shabbos is not Shiva Osa B'tamuz. And when you think about our preparation on the day before and the night before Shiva Osa B'tamuz until the Tanis comes in. So first of all, there are different minhogim on the Shabbos before Shiva Osa B'tamuz as to whether or not to make an announcement that Shiva Osa B'tamuz will be this week. The Sfaradim have a minhag that on the Shabbos before Shiva Osa B'tamuz, before Ashrei, the Shatz calls out, the Shliach Tzibur, the Gabba, calls out Al HaTzoim as Shiva Osa B'tamuz, Yiyeh B'yoim HaChamishi Avor Leinu L'Tovo, something like that. As our expression, this week, on the Shabbos before Shiva Osa B'tamuz amongst the Sfaradim, the Gabba will call out, yes, that Shiva Osa B'tamuz, Yiyeh Machar, tomorrow, B'yom Rishon.
At what point do they announce it?
Well, just before Ashrei. Yeah, that's the minhag there. The Ramah, that's the Mechaber. The Ramah says that the minhag, we were just talking about the one year of a Levi. Just saying, you have a minhag, amongst the Sfaradim, that you announce Shiva Osa B'tamuz on Shabbos. On the Shabbos beforehand, it's called out that Shiva Osa B'tamuz will be this week on whichever day it is. Mashenke, the Ramah is cholik on that. The Ramah says that we don't, the minhag Ashkenaz is not to do so, and so is the minhag in Yerushalayim, and so is the minhag amongst Roiv Kehilos Ashkenaz, that we don't do it. Why don't we do it? So they bring down two reasons. The first one is that, in a way, it sounds like we're giving up on Mashiach coming before Shiva Osa B'tamuz. So it could be that maybe this week, where Shiva Osa B'tamuz is the day after, then that wouldn't be a problem. But the second thing is that we know that Chazal were very concerned. That's why we only have seven brochas in Tefillah on Shabbos. Chazal were very concerned that we shouldn't get upset and we shouldn't think about bad things on Shabbos, things that depress us on Shabbos. And therefore it says, "Kedei shaloi la'ora dikoin nefesh ve'itzvoin ruach b'yom Shabbos kodesh." Yeah, so, you know, forget the Tanis for the moment. The moment it's Shabbos, and the Tanis is tomorrow, and don't think about it at the moment. So then, obviously, that doesn't make any difference whether the Tanis is tomorrow or the Tanis is later in the week, that there would be an inyan not to. It says here that Nochon Shlo Yoichal Balailo Shekoidu Atanis. Interesting, Martin, this is for you. Yeah, it says that it's not a good idea to eat a lot on the night before the Tanis. Somebody thinks he'll stock up on food and have a massive meal on the night before the Tanis, yeah? Unless he's been advised that he should do so, but it says, Mumlatz merofim mumchim, that it is advised by expert doctors, lishtois harbe koidem asoin.
They talk about food rather than drink.
Oh, so he says, food you should not. You should not eat a lot of food before the Tanis to stock up on food, but you should, according to Roifim Mumchim, he says, that you should stock up, you should hydrate yourself on the night before the Tanis, drink a lot of water, but don't necessarily eat a lot. We'll discuss B'leida tomorrow. What about Malava de Malka? There are some people who eat very light on Motz Shabbos, milchiks and light foods, etc. on Motz Shabbos. There are some people who have the full, heavy, fleischige meal on Motz Shabbos. And therefore, should they do the same as they do every week on this month's Shabbos later? We'll discuss that tomorrow.
Start your day the Torah way, Northwest London, Thursday, Yud Dalad Tammuz, 10th of July, Rabbi Moshe Levi Shlita. Why so much anti-Semitism? This is Torah response anonymously. Of course, I'm sure my phone will come off.
Amen.
The people that have the big media Malava Malka usually probably win Shabbos. Not in London when Shabbat is at like 10:30.
Yeah.
In other countries maybe, more likely.
Or in the middle of the winter.
Yeah, so then it makes more sense.
Morning.
Good morning.
So this week's parashat Balak is to some extent a continuation of last week's parasha. At the end of last week's parasha, we skip 38 years. Jewish people in the Midbar. Miriam passes away, Aaron HaKohen passes away, the Anani HaKavod go away, and therefore we're susceptible to attacks. And it comes back in the merit of Moshe Rabbeinu, but ultimately we see we go to war, and we say to Edom at first, similar to nowadays, we're not looking to cause any problems. You be where you are, we're going to do what we got to do, we're not looking. No, we don't let you go. And then they come out fighting against us. And somehow we're the bad guys, but okay. And we go to war versus Sichon, we go to war versus Og. And it's funny, I was giving a shir yesterday, I was discussing. They say that Sichon and Og are related. And how are Sichon and Og related? They're brothers, or half brothers. How are they half brothers? We know, where does Og come from? It doesn't say that he's from the Nephilim. It could be he's connected somehow over there, but the Medrash, if I'm not mistaken, says he snuck onto the Teva, or he held onto the Teva. So how could Sichon be Oig's brother if nobody else survives the Mabul except for Noach and his children, and maybe according to the Medrash, Oig. I forget, I think it's in Maseches Nida. I don't remember if it's the Maharsha or Tosfos over there discusses it. And he says that, what was it? Oh, Noach has three children. Shem is the good guy. Chal, Yafes, sort of in between. Cham, we know what he does to his father. So his wife was no better. And I think it says over there that Cham's wife was Mezane with Oig's father. So therefore, Oig and Sichon, she comes onto the Teva already pregnant with Sichon. That's how he was half brothers with Oig. Just, okay. But we know that Sichon and Og, they sort of had a little bit of a mafia deal. Protexia with most countries. You pay us our dues and we take care of you. Now suddenly Sichon and Oig that have lived for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years are now destroyed. They start getting scared and they try and understand, how can we defeat Moshe Rabbeinu? Why is it that they send messages to Midian of all places? Why Midian? Because they want to understand, how do we defeat Moshe Rabbeinu? Moshe Rabbeinu lived in Midian for a bunch of years. Is Yitro's son-in-law. What's his power? It's obviously not a strength thing, because nobody was stronger than Oig, and he was able to defeat him. And what are the Ziknei Midian? That's why it's the Ziknei Midian. Nobody that's under 40. Right? They don't know Moshe Rabbeinu. The Ziknei Midian, they remember when Moshe Rabbeinu used to be in town. And what do they tell him? En kocho ela befiv. What is the power of Moshe Rabbeinu and the Jewish people? Tefillah, learning Torah. So they say, we need to fight fire with fire. Who's the only person that we can get that's on par with Moshe Rabbeinu? Bilam. Lo kam bi Yisrael ke Moshe od. Nobody was amongst the Jewish people like Moshe, that he speaks to Hashem panim u panim, right? Of the Shlesh Yisro Ikrim, 13 fundamental beliefs is not only that there's prophets, but that Moshe Rabbeinu is Ava Nevi'im. Panim u panim, Hashem says, I spoke to Moshe face to face. Not just at night, not just in a dream. Bilam was the same. That way the Goyim don't have an excuse. If we would have had a Navi like Moshe Rabbeinu, then, okay, but hey, we never had such a great leader, such a holy person, person that was so connected to Hashem that was on that level. That's why Hashem says, I'll give you a guy. I'll give you a guy. And you look throughout the parasha, one thing that I think always needs to be pointed out when it comes to Parashat Balak, the Jewish people have no idea this is happening. Every single thing that we have in the Torah, the Meraglim, Korach, the Egel, it's with us. It's happening with us. Most of this Parsha, Balak starts sending messages to Bilam, and Bilam says, I can't go, but he sends more messengers, and the whole thing with the donkey and the angel, and he's setting up all these different altars to curse them, one time, two times, three times, and every time we have all the different... The Jewish people have no clue. And this isn't the only time. Ma'asim b'chol yom. We have no idea of the attacks that the terrorists want to implement on us. What they say, that before October 7th at least, they said the Israeli government would catch 90+%, 95%, 98%. That's the ones they know about. But Parashat Balak shows us there's loads that they're planning to do to annihilate us, and we don't even realize how Hashem is protecting us. It's so important to appreciate. But the people of Moab are scared. Their protexia is gone. Sichon and Og have been destroyed. And the truth is, Moab has no reason to be scared. Why does Moab have no reason to be scared?
Because they had a promise. I thought so.
We're family. We're not allowed to touch them. So the whole thing makes no sense. I was pointing out to somebody, I said, the whole thing, right, we know that Ammon and Moab, they can't become Gerim. Why not? They didn't come and they didn't greet you with bread and water. Why should they, more than anybody else, have greeted us with bread and water? We're family. When were we family? Avram and Lot. How long ago was this? That Avram and Lot were close? This is at the end of the 40 years in the desert. Avram and Lot's before Yitzchak's even born. So this is at least 440 years ago. Imagine I come and I say to you, by the way, I don't know if you realize, in 1585, my family did your family a favor. You should help take care of me. What would you say? 440? Are you insane? 440 years ago. It seems that no, we have to have Hakarat HaTov even 440 years later, and they should have came in. We're not allowed to touch them. So why is it that Moav wants to destroy the Jewish people? Anti-Semitism. There's no svara to it. Bilam. Why is he so adamant? And he tries once, and he tries two times, and he tries three times. It's funny, I was listening to a shir, and the Rav was saying, if we didn't know that Bilam's last name was Harasha, you would think the guy's a tzad. They come and they say, we want you to curse the Jews. I can only do whatever Hashem allows. Let me speak to Hashem. I'm sorry I can't do it. Hashem said no. More people come. We'll pay you more. We'll give you more kavod. I would love to help you, but Hashem said no. Right? Balak says to Bilam, I told you to curse them. I told you whatever Hashem says, that's it. Right? If you didn't know any better, what would you think about Bilam? He's a gadol. He's a tzaddik. He always says whatever Hashem says. But why is he constantly trying to curse the Jews and destroy the Jews? Anti-Semitism. He hates us. He hates us. Right? And we're seeing that over and over. Is there any reason that Iran should be funding all this terror? What did the Jewish people do to Iran? Nothing. We've done nothing to them. So why do they hate us so much? Death to Israel? Anti-Semitism. They have, and one of the things Bilam says in this week's parah, is who can protect us? There's only two nations that have the word Kel in their name. Israel and Ishmael. And as much as we're saying, what's the reason that they hire Bilam and Kochoela Befiv? What do the Muslims do five times a day? They're davening. With no shame. They whip out the carpet wherever they are. They're davening. I was taking an Uber on Friday. And the driver looks at me and he says, are you going to be fasting tomorrow? I'm like, oh, we don't fast on Saturdays. Except for Yom Kippur. Why, what's tomorrow? And he says something. I'm like, what's that day? He looks at me like I'm crazy. Says, that's the day that Musa was saved as a baby in the ocean. My name is Moshe. If I meet somebody and I say, Ismi Musa, my name is Moshe. Esh Ismak, what's your name? And I said, as far as I know, we don't know what day it was that Moshe Rabbeinu was saved in the ocean. But either way, the fact that they have a day that they fast to commemorate the day that Moshe Rabbeinu was saved, there's a koyach there.
So by fasting, you should celebrate.
What's that?
They should celebrate.
No, they. I said to them, we were talking about, once we got into it, we're talking about religion. They have four main prophets. There's Muhammad, then there's Musa, there's Ibrahim, and Dawood. Who's Dawood? David HaMelech. Ibrahim's obviously Avraham Avinu. So of their four main prophets, three of them, right, they respect, they fast, they daven. So when we're trying to understand why is it that they have the koyach they have, and they're taking over England, and they're taking over America, where is that coming from? They're using our koyach.
And that's what Esav was told. When the Yidden are down, you'll be up. If they're not going to use it, someone else is going to use it. Question becomes, why? Why is there all this anti-Semitism? Why do they hate us so much? What have we done, if you will, that they hate us? And throughout Jewish history, there's been many different svaras. What's one svara? Jealous. They look at the amount of Jews that are wealthy, the amount of Jews that are in government, the amount of Jews that have won Nobel Prizes. There's an element of jealousy. And there's probably some truth to that, but there's been many times where the Jews weren't at the top of society because the laws were against us. And Jews have a reputation of being chasing money. Why chasing money? Because you weren't allowed to own land and you weren't allowed to have most types of jobs. So what was one of the few jobs you were allowed to have? Money lenders. Banking. So what had to happen? You lend someone money, you got to chase them to get it back. There were times we were at the bottom of society and there was anti-Semitism. What did we say at that stage? If only we can be respectable, wealthy people, then they wouldn't hate us. But nobody likes the bottom of society. And we're at the top, they say, oh, they're jealous. Some will tell you it's because we killed their God. Some will tell you, nothing to do with that. Scapegoats. Hitler, Yamach Shemo. Why was he able to get everybody riled up against the Yidden? After the Great Depression, after World War I, they lost land, people are down. So you need to find someone to blame. So who do they blame? They blame the Jews. Scapegoats. And whatever svara you'll come up with, it's because we're too loud and they see us and they see the wealth. It's funny, as an American, you walk down the streets in New York, pretty clear which building's a shul. In England, almost never can you know which building's a shul. You walk by this shul, oh my shit, the average person knows it's a shul? No idea. And even the bigger ones that are shuls are behind gates. I'm going to go monks, right? You know, on the street, you would have no idea what's there. Met most shuls. I remember when I first came to London 15 years ago, I was wearing a talit. Someone came to me and said, we don't do that over here. So we have to be very discreet. Right? America hasn't been like that. Isn't like that. Maybe now, for the first time since October 7th, there's a bit of a feeling. But in England, whenever anybody I see from America, they say, how's the anti-Semitism in England? And I always say the same thing. The gas is on, hopefully nobody strikes a match. I don't think America's that much better, but the gas is on. Oh, we have to be discreet. Over there, they're more outgoing, they're more flamboyant, they're showing. It doesn't matter what we do. Whether when we're rich, whether when we're poor, we're at the top, we're at the bottom, we are showy, we're not showy. It has nothing to do with that. Already in the womb, in the womb, Yaakov and Esav are fighting. And I haven't born yet. Esav soneli Yaakov. Esav hates Yaakov. Whatever we do or don't do, it's not going to make a difference. So we think we have to fight the social media war and we need to make protests. Lo yazor. We've tried everything and it makes no difference. Esav said, now it used to be, all right, the left hated us, but the right, at least, you look now online, and many people on the right also. Anti. Question becomes, why? Why? Why is it Esav sin el Yaakov? When we became a nation, we went from a family of 70 people to a nation. And as we became a nation, the first time we called an Am, anti-Semitism. What does Paro say? Why would Paro think that we're going to partner with enemies that might attack? There was no reason he should think that. As we become an Am, automatically, anti-Semitism. And Mepharshim explained, why did Hashem do it that way? Why is it that every single country, pretty much in Europe, we've been kicked out of? Right? Here in England, we've been kicked out. 1066, we haven't touched us from York. And then there's nothing for a few hundred years. Until Oliver... 1290, Oliver Cromwell allows us back in. 1655. Oh, sorry, it wasn't 1066. It was 1290, we were exiled. 1066, we came back. We got kicked out... Unofficially, right? Kicked out in 1290 and came back in 1656. So there's a few hundred years, not one year, in all of England. Every country. Right? The Gemara
They hid in the villages.
Yeah. I remember one time teaching this Gemara. I believe it's Rabbi Bar Barchan. I had a bunch of students, not so from. I said to them, you tell me what's pshat in this Gemara. Rabbi Bar Barchan, I believe it is, he's on a boat. And he says, we're there on a boat, and we come to this beautiful island. And we get off, and we're exploring the island, and it's amazing. And we start getting comfortable, and we make some barbecues. And then we realize, there's a bit of an earthquake. The island starts moving. And we're trying to figure out what's happening. And then we realize, this isn't an island. This is a giant whale. And the whale's not very happy. He's got a barbecue on his back. So what does he do? He starts shifting around. Eventually, the whale flips over. And says Rabbi Baruch Hanna, Baruch Hashem, we were close enough to the boat, we were able to get back on and survive. You've heard this Gemara before? So, he knows I'm not making it up. So I remember I said to my students, what's pshat in this Gemara? And everyone's looking at me like I'm crazy. And one guy raises his hand, he says, the rabbi? I said, yeah. He goes, I said, no, Rabbi Bar Barchana was not high. Guy's like, I've been there, rabbi. I had a similar situation. I'm like, no. He said, you have to understand, the Gemara was censored. The Gemara was censored. We couldn't just put in the Gemara whatever it is we wanted to put. When it talks about the JC being able to walk on the water, there's very few Gemaras, but the ones maybe in the Middle East that they weren't censored by the Romans, they talk about, what did he do? He writes a whole Kabbalistic Kamiya, cuts the thing in his foot, puts it in, that enables him to walk on the water. The Romans didn't want that in the Gemara. So, they edited it out. If you learn Gemara and you don't have the code, it doesn't really help. You have to have a Rav, you have to have a tradition. Moshe Kiva Torah Masinai, so we should. So I think it's the Vilna Gaon explains, what's Rabbi Baruch Hanna saying? We were on a boat. We just got kicked out of a country. Out of Spain. Out of England. Out of Germany. Whatever country it was. That the Jewish people were exiled from. And we find a new country. And we come to the new country. And eventually, we get comfortable. And we start making a barbecue. Alaesh, manga. And what happens when you get too comfortable? First it starts to shake. And they're not so happy that you're there. And eventually what happens? Flip out, flip over, and kicks you out. Thank God we were close enough to the boat, we were able to survive. Rabbi Baruch Hanna is saying, don't get too comfortable in Gullus. Because whatever country you're in, and don't get me wrong, we have to have immense Hakaras HaToyev to England. We did Achnasa Sefer Torah at our Bet Midrash BBM a few weeks ago, and they shut down Brent Street. And I said to somebody, you think 100 years ago they'd be shutting down Brent Street so that the Jewish people could dance with their Torah? There's a lot of chesed that we need to appreciate, 1,000,000%. That being said, says Rabbi Bar Barchana, don't get too comfortable. Because whether it's 50 years, 100 years, 200 years, or 300 years, eventually you get too comfortable. You start to assimilate, to think you're just like everybody else. And what does Hashem do? Anti-Semitism. They're going to hate you, they're going to persecute you, and they're going to exile you. With Yosef HaTzadik, the brothers come down to Mitzrayim. Yosef says, if they're going to ask you, what do you do? What do you tell them? Shepherds. Why shepherds? Because they hate the shepherds. They're going to put you in a ghetto. They're going to put you in Goshen. That's the best thing possible. To be put into the ghetto. Because that way, no one's going to want to marry you. And you don't have... We say on Seder night. You pick up the wine, and what do we say? Vihi she'amda la'avoteinu vilano. Why are you picking up the wine? Vihi. The fact that we don't sit with goyim and drink. That's the thing. She'amda la'avoteinu vilano. Others say no. You know what stands for the Jewish people that enables us to exist for thousands of years? That every single generation, they want to kill us. That's what saves us. The fact that they hate us, that there's anti-Semitism, that's the best thing we could possibly have. But how? What way? That's what keeps us here then. Because otherwise, what happens in America right now, for the past however many years, they haven't hated us? Intermarriage rates over 70%. You get too comfortable, Hashem says. You think you're the same? That's for sure. And Hashem sends out to wake us up messages. Hashem sends them to hate us, whether it's Bilam, whether it's Balak, whether it's Paro, whether it's Hitler Yimach Shemo, whether it's King Ferdinand, Queen Isabella, over and over. Shemachol Dor Vador. Hashem says, the second you get too comfortable, you're going to have to get on that boat. You think you're making barbecues and everything's amazing? That's exactly when they kick you out. You need to be in the ghetto. You need to understand that we're different. We have immense hakarat atov, don't get me wrong. But You never get too comfortable. My Rebbe used to say, if you could afford, buy a place in Eretz Yisrael and understand, that's where you're going to end up. Yeah, you got to be here. Family, schools, parnasa, okay, but this is where you live, but that's home. That's home. Libi b'mizrach. And if we didn't care enough about Eretz Yisrael, Hashem sent an October 7th so that we care that much more. I was giving a shir, I said, you look at what's happening, in a bunch of years we're going to look back, and it makes no sense. The fact that we knew exactly the intelligence that Hashem enabled the Israelis to have, to know exactly where every scientist is, to know exactly where in Iran, and every single head of the army, and I remember I did a solidarity trip last year in Eretz Yisrael. And the spokesman of the Israeli army said to us, we're here outside of Gaza. What's happening in Gaza is child's play. Hezbollah, they have 150,000 rockets and they're a trained army. Over here you have a bunch of rebels. I remember I came back, I told my colleague, we can't do a trip to Eretz Yisrael this summer. We had planned this out. They keep saying it's not a matter of if, but when. Sukkot, I'm sitting with an Israeli soldier. I said, what happened? You know, I was so worried about Hezbollah, 150,000 rockets. He says, I'm a soldier. A soldier doesn't do anything without getting a command. He says, Hezbollah is a trained army. Bliya and Harabi were able to take out Nasrallah Yemach Shemo, the head of the army. So you have 150,000 rockets. Now, first of all, they were able to know where those rockets were and take out 70% of them. Unbelievable intelligence that Hashem enabled the army to have. He says, but because they took out the top generals, how long could the average trained soldier in Hezbollah be sitting there with their rocket waiting for orders? A week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, after a while. There's no orders, you don't do anything. Hashem enabled us to know exactly where the head of every general was and the top military people. The intelligence Hashem enabled us to happen is unbelievable. It's also the same exact intelligence that they had on October 7th. If it doesn't make sense that we were able to do what we did over the past few months, it also doesn't make sense October 7th. And when something doesn't make any sense, that's a Kodesh Baruch. That's a Kodesh Baruch. Right, David HaMelech, I think it was the third Mizmor in Tehillim. Mizmor de David bebarachov bnei Avshalom. A song to David when he's running away from his son Avshalom. And they ask, Mizmor, Kina, your son wants to kill you and you're singing? He says, if it was a coup, if the general got up against me, if the other armies are attacking me, that's normal. When there's something that's so crazy, that's from Hashem. And if it's from Hashem, I sing. But your own son, I sing, because that's from Hashem. We had a bunch of soldiers in our Bet Midrash BBM on Sunday. And they're here to rehabilitate. Every single group has their own thing. These guys, they're the Chevra Kadisha. They're the Chevra Kadisha. When it talks about in the Torah, you'll go crazy from your eyes. That's what they had. That's what they had. They said what we saw on October 8th, unimaginable, doesn't begin to describe it. Doesn't begin to describe it. I won't go through the gory details and the pictures, but the pieces of bodies and the arms and the fact that they found some ashes and they were able in the ashes to find one tooth to be able... They said 15 bodies that were practically impossible to identify. And some of it wasn't even the bodies. They found the blood in the tank with the other ones that got killed. And this guy, even though he was killed, they took his body as a hostage. He says, we were able to give 15 different families nechama that their children aren't being raped or murdered or tortured in the tunnels as hostages. They said, someone asked them, you think in Shamayim Hashem's putting the pieces together? He said, I think so. We don't know. But I have no doubt that the pieces are putting us together. Are bringing us together. And they said, they often get asked, how do you sleep at night? How do you wake up in the morning after seeing what you saw? The worst atrocities anybody could begin to imagine. How do you function? And they said, pass me the sitter, please. Right. They said we have on Shabbat, we say Nishmat Kol Chai. And one of the things we say, thank you very much, in the Nishmat, it says, V'ilu finu male shira chayam, and if our mouths were endless like the ocean. Right? You ever been in a boat in the middle of the ocean? Pesach, I was a rabbi in a program, in Crete, and the highlight of the trip, I told my kids, I was around, I was taken care of, so I said, well, splurge. We got a boat, we're in the middle of the ocean, the guy's letting my 9-year-old drive for 20 minutes, my 13-year-old, well, there's no traffic, it's endless. The ocean's endless. Bilufinu mareshira chayam, bishonenu rena, kamon galav. And our lips were like the waves. Vesiftotenu shevach, and our tongues and our lips were able to give praise, kemer haver akia. How much space is there up there in the heavens? Right, v'yadenu pirishok neshesh shamayim, our hands were able to spread like the eagles, 10, 12 foot wingspan, and we're able to run like a deer. And anachnu maspikim. How do we can't. We can't possibly have enough to praise you and to say thank you to Hashem and to sing to you. And then we say, ki chol pelech hayode, every mouth is going to say thank you. V'chol lashon l'chad eshabeach, chol ayin l'chad eshabeach, chol b'lech hatecha. So which one is it? Is it, we can't do it, and anachnu maspikim, or is it, we do it? So it's very simple. Look at the words in between. What do we say? Al ken ivarim shepilag d'abanu. The ivarim that you gave us. V'ruchon shama shenafachta ba'apenu. And the neshama that you Hashem blew into us. V'lashon ashesamta befinu. And the tongue and the mouth that you gave us. We can't do it. Except for the fact that you gave us the ability to do it. They said, we understand that we're on shlichut. We were sent here. And this is our mission. So we can't get up in the morning. We can't function. If not for the fact that Hashem gave us this shlichut. And if we understand that this is our mission, this is what Hashem wants of us, then you can do anything. But if not for that, you're right, we wouldn't be able to function. We can't survive. We can't do it. And then they said, we want to give you something, which I don't know why they gave it to me, but I said, I'll take it. They said, we want to give you this. We're here to rehabilitate, and you just hearing our story is helping us. I said to them, what can we do? Can we do a barbecue? Can I take you guys out for dinner? And they said, no, we just want the code for the base marriage so we can sit and learn. Guys wearing polo shirts, kippah surugah. I said to them, two of the guys that were there on October 7th. I said, what miracles did you see? They said, every single life is olam b'fnei atzmo. But they said 5,000 armed terrorists and only 1,200 people died? That's an S. One guy said to me, I was there on October 7th. I was on an army base, but it wasn't an army base with loads of soldiers. It was a communication army base, mostly women. They said of 300 soldiers, there was maybe 10, max 15 guns. 60 terrorists come with their cars, missiles, AK-47s. It says, Baruch Hashem, me and the other guy were able to stop them from being able to drive in. So they came on foot. 60 armed terrorists. We got 300 people with 10 guns. Only 3 people got killed. Said to me, if that's not a miracle, I don't know what is. The miracles we saw, unbelievable. And they gave me this thing and it says, Bahakara mahabranut atzvait. It says, Yachad menatzchim be'emuna. Yachad menatzchim be'emuna. The only way we can win is yachad, we understand, we're together. Hashem sends anti-Semitism when we feel too comfortable. What does Bilam say? Hen am levadad yishkon. What's hen? Hen am. And the Mefarshim point out, every single letter to get to 10 has a partner. 1 has 9, and 2 has 8, and 7 has 3, and 6 has 4. But 5 doesn't have a partner. Same thing when you get to the next level. Right? 10 has 90, and 20 has 80, and 70 has 30, and 60 has 40. But 50 doesn't have a partner. 5 doesn't have a partner. Hain, this gamach is 5 and 5. Hain, am levadad yishkon. We understand, if you get too comfortable, Hashem sends the anti-Semitism. You think you're just like everybody else, Hashem sends them to remind you. No, they're different. V'hish amda lavotenu shebechol dor vador. Yosef HaTzadik says, better to be in the ghetto. Bilam, Balak, they hate us, they want to curse us, they want to destroy us. Chol dor vador. Why? Because the second we feel too comfortable and we think we're like everybody else, Hashem sends them to wake us up, to rock the boat. And Baruch Hashem, we're close enough, we're able to get to another country. Why is there anti-Semitism? We can come up with all different reasons. Esav Suneli Yaakov, it's in the womb. How do we win? Yachad menatzchim be'emuna. We have to have the achdut and know it's all from Hashem. The same Hashem that allowed us to see the miracles we've seen over the past few months is the same Hashem that allowed them to come in October 7th. And it makes no sense. That means it's Hashem. So what do we need to do? Yachad. We're entering into the 3 weeks. They say the 3 weeks has the same koach. The 3 weeks from Shva Sabbath to Musa Tisha B'Av is the same koach as the 3 weeks from Rosh Hashanah till Sukkot. Same 21 days. Epic koach. If you want to make sure that we don't have to have a Tisha B'Av. Yachad menatzchim be'emunah. We have to have the achdut, that unity. Understand. Heinam levadad yishkon. We have to be who we are. Utmost hakarat atov. Utmost respect. I know someone told me they were asking, I'll end with this. A Rav of Shiloh. They heard someone asking Rav of Shiloh. And they were talking about Goyim and Yidane. Says, but they're Goyim. And the Rav said, Esav son of Yaakov. Doesn't say Yaakov son of the Esav. We're not supposed to hate. We're not supposed to look to cause and death. You have to be a mensch. Have hakarat atov. But, hena. If you feel too comfortable, Hashem says, I'm going to remind you. This isn't home. This is where we live. This is where your house is. That's home. Dibiba Mizrach. Bezat Hashem will make sure we have that achdut. Yachad. Nenatzeach, but only be'emunah. If we do that, then Bezat Hashem, this year we'll be back in Eretz Yisrael with Mashiach at the Beit HaMidrash. Yachad menatzchim be'emunah.
I think we do know the date of Moshe. It was Zion 7, because it was 3 months after he was put on a shir for a while.
Above 7,
so that's 3 months. Yeah, and that shows that was the Tachlis, Zion 7 to give the Torah, born Zion Adar.
Good. Very nice.
Locked
in.
What's what? You're saying basically.
There's different people say it could be jealousy, it could be where the top is, it could be where the bottom is. Whatever story we come up with, it's always been debunked. So don't think we need to do it.
So why is they making fast on what shall we know?
Yeah. That's what they did. I'm just saying, look at what they do. I wonder why it is we haven't been able to destroy this, because it's very really not good.
Okay, sure.